Hey, if you love Roll For It, watch the cast live every week on Twitch as we continue the story. That's twitch.tv/rollforitpod.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to Roll For It. It's a fast-paced Dungeons & Dragons podcast featuring random monsters and epic adventures.
Each episode we will roll for it, using the dice to randomly select which monster we face out of our list of 100 options. Even our DM won't know what comes next.
But that won't keep the story from progressing. Every monster becomes part of a continuous journey that pushes our characters to grow together as they grow stronger.
We'll be leveling up every episode, so our characters will get very powerful very fast as we approach the final boss.
So whether you're brand new to the game or a true D&D veteran, thank you for tuning in to Roll For It Season 2.
Yay!
Yeah, all right!
We are in episode 6, which means we are at level 6, because in this show, you gain a level every episode.
Yeah, dude.
That's why it's better.
That's why this show is just better.
I love it.
Could you three introduce yourselves and your characters for anybody who might have forgotten us?
I'm Graham, and I'm a total cleric, and I'm here to kiss your boo-boos and give you hugs, and I don't remember what else.
And what's your other name?
Oh, her.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, I'm Colleen.
Okay.
What's up, guys? My name is Andrew, and I am playing Eric, a Gisarai monk from the Akula Aura Monastery.
Yeah.
I'm Kendall. I play Zula, who's a half-orc fighter, who thinks she's really, really tough, but really, she escapes death every episode.
And she rolls a lot of ones.
Too many ones, too man. Many ones.
Just a heads up, you guys, you can tune in on YouTube to watch some of our Pizza Time videos and some of our other bonus content and get to know everybody a little bit more. Some extra stuff if you go on there and explore a little bit. Mm-hmm. But for now, we're just going to start this episode, I guess. So when we last met, you three did some investigating at the empty, in, that's in quotation
marks. That's in quotations.
Yes. Guild of Guardians. You ran into Ted, the Warforged administrator slash handyman slash henchman, who, under orders from the first guardian, let a Noel Flynn, like a big monster guy with a flail, let him loose to prevent you three from doing too much snooping.
Yeah, that was very rude.
It was just a rude fight.
You and that balcony were just having it out.
I just loved the first floor so much that
you just kept going back for more.
Yeah.
Oh, the earth. I just want to hug it.
Yeah.
With some help from Durbin, you defeated the monster and found that the first guardian, Deodora, is somehow involved in the disappearance of the others. Zula, you picked up this magic eyeball thing that you found. You don't know really what it does. Mm-hmm. You also found, much to the horror of Arak, a crudely sketched map of the secret monastery L'Akula Aura. The existence of this map implies that the monastery where Arak was raised and trained is in danger. But there are other dangers as well. Graham met up with Graki, and Graki asked if she and her friends, the last guardians, could actually help with a problem that somebody's been having. It's getting late, and you've all gathered around Graki's small kitchen table. Graham and Graki's, the turtles, if you will, for a quick breather and for some tea. Graham and Graki live in a cozy stone room. It's covered from floor to ceiling in knitted blankets and trinkets from the places that they've traveled. The pair are nomads who, for decades, have wandered peacefully through nature, stopping occasionally to sell their handmade goods and give hugs in nearby towns.
I'm so happy to see that Grilula has such nice friends. More tea, little donkey.
Durbin is curled up by the fireplace with a warm bowl of Grocky's finest green tea.
As much as I love having company, you shouldn't stay long. Guards circle our block every couple hours looking for you. You scary fugitives, you.
And he just kind of like tickles Gram.
Oh, that's my spot.
Hey. We need to go to the monastery. That map that we found back at the guild's office. I need to know why it was there. It's the only home I've ever had, and it could be in danger.
You look mighty young to be a monk. But I guess when you're 302, everyone looks young.
Well, I'm still in training. When you're young and orphan like me, you're raised within the walls of the monastery for 20 years. Then I was sent away for 20 years to complete a mission. To do good. That's why I signed up for this messed up guild. If I've completed my mission, I may return to learn the secrets of the lake.
Lakua Aura.
Exactly. The monastery that took me in was built next to the magical lake to protect it from intruders. What kind of magic? Why is it so important? No one is trusted with that information until they complete the mission.
The mission to do good?
Yes.
Yes, Arak. I think this lake sounds very cool and important to you, but we've got this letter here that maybe we should take care of first. I don't have my glasses. Whoopsie, I think I might have lost them somewhere. Oh, maybe in the woods.
Please, I'll read that, Quilula.
Thank you.
So Grocky pulls up the letter and begins to read it.
Dear Grocky, I know sweet Gram cannot be guilty of the crimes she's being accused of. I am sure, however, that she is a capable adventurer,
and one of the only ones left. I desperately need her help. My daughter's life is on the line. I'm afraid the guard will arrest me if they learn of my latest experiment. Please, I'm begging you, pass this message along. Yours, Mr. Jangles of Asterix Potions.
Oh, someone's life is on the line.
I think we should help him. Yes, the monastery is important. I do understand that. But this could be the way that we could save our reputations. We're good and we're sweet and we have to show people that we are not bad guys.
You don't hear an orc person call themselves sweet too often. I appreciate that.
If it's my way to the top, then I am sweet.
No. You're so close. Era, how do you feel about us helping these people? And then we promise to go to your monastery after.
Yes. Let's help these people for the greater good. But then we must go to the monastery right after.
Right.
As you guys gather up your things, Grocky actually asked if he could speak with Grulula privately.
Yes, sweetie pie.
Ooh, privately. I think we should get into the next room.
No.
Grulula. I know that Eldaith is sending you on new adventures, but don't you think leaving the city, traveling to this monastery is maybe a bit much?
A bit much of what? What?
You're nearly 300 years old, Grulula. You could get hurt. We're not fighters. We make our sweaters. We mate, and then we die in peace, hand in hand. Our shells are cozy beds. Not shields.
You know, I thought that was where my life, my fate was headed as well. And it's not a bad life. And I love you very deeply. And I can't wait to bump shells with you. But Eldaith has blessed me with special magics. And I've devoted my life to her. And she's called me on this mission. And I think I'm quite good at it. I'm quite a bad booty. I'm a hero to a little boy.
You've never faced something as dangerous as what that lake might hold. The vision that you saw within the fire, it frightens me, Grulula. And I think you should maybe stay dry and warm and safe and let the others, the younger ones, go while we stay here. We'll hide you under the bed for now.
Oh, you know I wouldn't fit under there.
He sort of can't figure out what to say, and then you see Arax trying to get you out the door so you can get a move on.
Come on.
And you just see Grocky's eyes. They plead with you to stay.
I've got to fulfill my calling, Grocky. and then I'll come back and spend the rest of my years with you. I promise.
Be safe, Gralula.
You guys make your way to Asterix Potions.
Mm-hmm. In the middle of the night, correct? Do we sneakily go there?
You sneakily go.
I need to use the restroom real quick.
Go in the alleyway.
Along the way, Arok has to pee. The shop is closed. There's a closed sign on the door.
Maybe there's a back door.
Mr. Jangles, wait.
Shh. What are you doing? We're incognito.
And you guys catch out of the corner of your eye the little window at the door moves, and you see an eyeball.
Is it only one eyeball?
Once he opens the door, you see that he has two eyeballs, neck length, straight blonde hair, and his clothes are kind of rugged. Like, he hasn't been taking good care of himself lately. He's pretty dirty. So you're going to write dirty human in your... dirty?
Are you Mr. Jangles?
That's me. Are you guys the guardians?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, here we are.
We're here to help.
Come in.
Okay.
And he lets you guys in, and he closes the door, closes the blinds, and he's got like a little candlelight at the table, and he says, my daughter, she's got this condition. She's really sick, and I know what creature I could use. I could get a little bit of the blood and maybe some of the saliva, and I could create a potion, and it would heal her. And do you think that you three could help?
Well, slow down. I know the healing magics. Are those not good enough? What exactly is wrong with her?
She's got... So she, I mean, I blame myself. She found her way into my lab and she took a sip of something, just thought it looked like candy because it was, you know, shiny and green, and now...
You know, they make special locks for doors, you know, to keep them from opening.
I think about that every day.
You're really rubbing it in, Gram.
Gram's so harsh today.
What are her symptoms?
She's frightfully pale and...
Frightfully? Oh, dear.
Almost like a vampire. Oh. And not to put that word in your guys' mind, she is not in any way approaching vampirism.
You say you need parts of a monster.
It's called a sturge.
Scourge.
It's pretty much a dreadful thing, but we can't kill it. I need it alive so it can produce saliva for me to make a tonic.
Well, now I don't want to put another animal in discomfort either.
Well, let me explain this animal to you before you go making rash decisions like that. Picture a mosquito mixed with a bat, reddish pink flesh color all around it, and give it a big old pincer and make it the size of a seagull. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about a sturge. For a group of adventurers like you, sturges aren't that tough. But the thing is, the one that I need is a queen sturge.
Oh, of course.
How do we tell it's a queen?
Based on my reading, it's about 4 or 5 times the size of a regular one. And it's supposed to have a faint glow about it as well.
Oh. So where do we find the sturge?
It's going to be pretty easy, actually. What I got, I ordered this off of Amazon.
What?
Oh, no.
Amazon. It's like a wizard's catalog, and they'll ship you things that you might need. So I ordered this device. It's like a curtain, and it'll work as a portal. It will take you guys right into the forest, get the thing, and get back out. And not only that, but I've also brewed some special potions for the occasion that I thought might be useful for you three.
What are they?
From what I've heard about your descriptions on the wanted posters, I figure that a good one for Arok would be the spider brew. It'll give you the ability to climb on walls and such and shoot webs.
Some sort of spider man.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds silly. But and a good one for Zula would be this bat tonic. It would give you the ability to fly. See, I thought with your strength that maybe if you could reach the thing, because this is a flying creature. And a good one for Gram would be a sip of sight. That's so you can not only see in the dark, but see so perfectly that you'll be able to guide all the others with your eyes.
I could guide in the dark.
Oh. I have dark vision.
But not perfect dark vision.
And I even have a harness that'll help you guys out when you're there. Once you catch the queen, tie her up to your mule. He could carry it back for you.
You can get those sturge harnesses on Amazon nowadays.
You guys head to the back room. As you go, You hear like a little cough from the neighboring room, and you see the girl moving around trying to get to sleep but not having a great time of it. And she's frightfully pale. And she's got two large fangs in her
mouth. Surrounded by crosses and garlic.
Yeah.
There's no way she's
She turns her head 360 degrees around. There's no basements in this shop, so it's way different than the first episode.
And, it was so different.
No fire elementals either.
No.
This is great.
No. But there is this curtain from Amazon, this half-oval golden dome, and it's curtain rings all around it somehow, which is weird. It doesn't make sense like with physics, but it's magic or something. On the side of it, there's this weird dial, and Mr. Jangles says, "Are you ready?"
Yes.
Do it.
And he presses in the button. Through this curtain, you see a dark, foggy marsh with like a half moon lighting the way in moonbeams, and you can just see it right there. You can feel a little bit of the warm, humid breeze on your faces.
Very romantic.
And he says, "This thing can stay open for about 3 hours at a time, and I'll be right here. Please come back soon." You guys step through. And then Durbin trots along behind you.
I've heard portals are very rough going through, but this was easy peasy.
I have Amazon Prime, so.
Oh, Prime.
Primo.
Well, let's go find this lovely Sturge.
You guys head off. Mr. Jangles fades into the background.
A little warmer over here. Mm. Kind of like it.
You hear it before you see it, Grim, but you hear paired with that sound is just the little. And you glance over and you see the Sturge sort of swoops past you, but then flies off.
Oh, and I take my potion.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to take the potion
and
just start flying.
All right.
Go.
How fast does it take? Because I want to like maybe see where that Sturge is going.
You don't feel any change, but you guys see that Gram's eyes suddenly become huge. They like literally grow to fill up most of her head.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And they,
oh, my
and
God.
They shine over with this golden color.
I see everything.
Oh, we could see that.
Oh.
Yes, as soon as that kicks in, you look ahead and you see where the Sturge is heading. And you can see hundreds of feet.
Beautiful.
That's a normal amount to be
That's
able to see.
Normal.
So,
yeah.
You can see like 200 feet away.
Well, it's dark though right now, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
That's true. That's different. Yeah. It's different when it's dark.
But you follow this Sturge with your eyes, and you notice you can keep following it, and others just like it are way off that way, maybe about 500 feet away from you guys.
Well, friends, we're going to head this way.
Zula, you took a sip of your bat tonic.
I did, yeah.
You get a quick, slightly painful feeling. Two bat wings sprout out.
Something's on my back. Something's on my back.
It's a part of you. It's a part of
you. What do you mean it's a part
you
of
you? You look very hip.
Oh my God, are these wings?
Oh.
Why don't you try them out?
Okay.
You manage to pick yourself off the floor clumsily. Ooh. Somehow, along with the wings, you gain the knowledge of how to use these things. It's like second nature to you. You try it again, and you're able to keep flight. Suddenly, your eyesight shrinks down into pinhole vision because you've gone as blind as a bat.
I can't see.
But wait.
I can't see.
Say things. Say things. Does that help you?
Yeah.
Make a perception check.
Okay. 16.
It's not as easy as flying is. But you do notice that your voice has this weird high-pitched thing to it. Yeah, this aspect of your voice that just gets added on in post. And you see the sound bounce off where the ground is and where your friends are, but it's really hard to make out. It's still scary as fuck. In the meantime, Arak is the spider brew. Now, this one is actually very painful. What is your hit point maximum?
Oh, man.
Dang.
You gotta ask me that? I'm 43.
What happens is you suddenly grow 4 spider appendages out of your back.
Ah.
2 out of each side. Your ribs are realigning to make it happen, and you lose half of your hit point maximum. You're more frail than ever, but it stops hurting after a second, and you realize you can use these limbs to make you move faster. You can climb, and you have this web ability.
Half my HP just gone.
Very spooky.
So you guys are all these crazy-looking fucking creatures now.
Grim got the best one.
I can't tell any difference except what I see.
Oh, the movie was better than what I feel. This is ridiculous.
I have to stay close to you guys because I can't see a thing.
We'll try and be close, but you're going to maybe have to make a call on your own of what to do. There, yes.
You keep practicing. So you do this and you're like looking around frantically trying to see, and you catch a glimpse of a creature that's flying straight at you.
Zula, stop making that sound and move.
Something's coming. I can't see it.
This Sturge is going to attack you.
Oh.
Instead of rolling the dice down his dice tower, he just threw it over the side of it.
I should give myself disadvantage for
it
that.
It was a nine, yeah.
So you can't even really see it coming, Zula, but it tries to latch onto you with its bat mouth slash. What are those things on a mosquito called?
Mandibles?
Probiscus. No, mandibles is a spider thing.
Probiscus?
Anyway, it tries to attach that to you, and you basically accidentally knock it off of your arm.
I just go, boo, and I cast Sacred Flame on it.
You realize that this potion has affected your spellcasting ability.
No!
Yeah, and it makes your spells weakened.
I didn't sign up for this! Damage is 12, so half to 6.
Okay, so the thing just...
Zula, what are we going to do with you?
Graham, did you see where it came from?
Yes, it came that way right there. Shush.
Zula takes off that way.
I'm expert. Worried, Elday.
All right, so you guys approach this large, mostly dead tree that's in a couple of feet of water. There's fungus and growth on it inside of this big knot. There's this swelling in and swelling out, like the tree is breathing. Even from this distance, you see that giant Sturge.
That must be the queen. Let's grab it.
Very good ambition. Now let's think about how to do it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Also, Durbin's with you guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
We should use him as like a distraction. What if like he gets his hooves, hits it on a tree, then like dives in the water?
See if he'll do it.
Oh.
Durbin. Come here.
He doesn't come here.
Okay, I'll come to you.
You're giving too much thought into this strange donkey
maybe
thing.
Maybe I am. I'm sorry.
I really believe in Durbin now.
We love him, but he is just an animal. I'm thinking about swimming in this water and maybe going under the trees.
I think I can distract them. It seemed like they like the calls I was making.
They wanted to hurt you, though.
Yeah, but I think I could do it. I think I can just outfly them.
Ooh.
Maybe I could do something with webs, yes. Splatter them around. So like if anything kind of tries to fly around, it kind of gets caught in the webbing.
Ooh.
So yeah. Kind of do a little. You'll
shoot your webs and try and grab her and Zula will fly and scream and it'll be wonderful.
What's the first step?
I'll swim up and wait and you give me the signal. What will it be? Well, okay then.
Don't forget it, because it's got to be exactly that.
Or else I'll think you're coughing or something.
I'm sorry, but I won't forget it.
All right.
What's around the dead tree? More trees?
Man, you don't know. You can't see shit.
That's true.
There's a little bit of space and then more, yeah, dead trees with like the hanging.
Yeah, I want to go over that, like that border
okay,
of trees.
Make a perception check with disadvantage for me as you try to find like a nice perch. Grulula, you and Arak make stealth checks.
I got 14.
With disadvantage?
Yeah.
Hey.
18.
Nat 20.
Whoa, there it is. Everybody's looking good. And by looking good, I mean nobody can see you. Zula, you find yourself on a nice perch. And Arak, you can't stay in tree cover the whole time because of the clearing before it's this tree in the center. So you're probably about like 15 feet away.
From where the queen is at.
Yep. At this point, you see scores of these sturges flying around, and somehow none of them have noticed you yet.
Because I'm using Shadow Step right now, that's why.
So that means you can pop into...
From shadow to shadow, as long as there's dimly lit or darkness.
It's no fair, Andrew.
Level 6, what can I say?
And once you're ready, you can step out into the shadow of this big tree.
I like that.
You flash back to the monastery with Grudok trying to teach you that way, and every time you tried it, he would just slap you in the face with, like, the training stick.
Oh.
When you are ready, Arak, the power will come to you when you need it. You focus all of your energy, and you close your eyes, and when you open them, you are right under the Queen Sturge's tree, surrounded by this swarm in the center of it. What are you doing?
Oh. What?
What are you doing?
I was gonna... Sorry.
Andrew sometimes just rolls.
And it was a natural one. So.
Oh, no. Okay, so tell us what you failed at.
No. Anyway.
Oh, I shouldn't have said anything. I fail at trying to be quiet while setting up these webbings around the queen.
So you fail your stealth check, but I'm going to have you also make a web attack. So go ahead and do one more d20 there. 19, okay. As you open your eyes and you appear in this completely different spot, exactly where you wanted to be, you can't help but say, yeah!
Like I finally did it?
Yeah.
Like, I got so psyched.
And the swarm all just swarm in. And,
oh, shit.
And as soon as you see that, you throw up your webbing and point it at the branch 30 feet above you. And you hit the branch, and that's your
sound?
Action. Do you make the signal?
Shit, I totally forgot what
was
the
signal. Oh my god.
Luckily, Graham Cram can see crystal clearly what's happening.
I'm like, oh boy. Here we go.
And let's all roll initiative.
14.
5.
You got a 10.
All right, Graham, you're up.
And like, she just starts like shaking her body back and forth, like humming, and then the ground starts shaking.
Okay.
I'm casting Thaumaturgy. I cause harmless tremors in the ground for 1 minute. Then as a bonus action, I'm going to cast my spiritual weapon.
As you cast these harmless tremors, you feel them, especially you hear them because you're like underwater mostly. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like wimpy harmless tremors.
Oh.
They're like extra harmless.
Oh no.
But it is still your turn and you still have this spiritual weapon and you are about 20 feet away in the water.
I wonder if I could knock the queen out. Just like, I don't want to kill her, but I want to just give her a bop.
Wouldn't have access to like hitting her directly, okay. But you could hit like her knot in the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. A big purple frying pan that's beautiful and glittery floats up to this knot with this queen sturge and goes knock knock on it.
Your magic frying pan, it bangs into the bark on the tree, mm-hmm. But it doesn't seem to get a good hit on the creature itself. You still have your movement if you want to use it.
I'm going to swim to the tree base, maybe go underneath it and see maybe if there's a way in or just check it out the area.
Sure. Make a stealth check as you continue to try and sneak up. It seems like just before you dive, a few of them do like notice you in the water, dive towards you, but you disappear under it.
I've got ideas.
All right. And the Sturge Queen is going to wriggle its way out of this tree. It applies pressure and the tree sort of folds back where it's cracked and it just exits. From there, it actually gets caught up in this web that Arak has laid down for it, so it's going to try and break free of that. So it can't get out of its spot.
That's right.
So it doesn't fly away, but Zula hears this weird, like, clicky, echoey sound, and then suddenly this swarm just swoops down and attacks Arak.
Oh my god.
Like they were ordered to do so. And it was a critical sturge swarm.
Oh, shit.
So, Arok, you're down there, and you cast up the web, and it's caught, and then you look and see that all of these sturges are behind you, and, like, four of them attach these proboscis to your arms, to all your exposed skin, and through, like, your thinner cloth. You are drained of 6 hit points.
God, brutal. Brutal already.
But that's it for the queen's turn. She is caught for now. And then it's back to Zula. Zula, you are in a neighboring tree, like, 50 feet away, mm-hmm. and you are perched.
I'll just, like, I'm trying to just be like, look at me, I'm over here, and I'm just going to go, woo, woo, woo.
All right, go ahead and make a persuasion check as you try to persuade these mosquito bats.
Ooh, 17.
Okay. The ones that aren't, like, glued to Arok fly out towards you.
Yeah, I want to just start going in a circle around the clearing. Okay. And then I also split apart my great axe into 2 hand axes.
Okay, great. Now it is the regular old Sturge's turns. 4 of them are going to catch up to Zula.
Bring it.
I got a 15.
16.
Whoa.
So because you're, like, making these weird oohs and clicks, and you sort of got the hang of it now that you see them coming and you swat and they can't get to your skin.
Yeah.
Arok, you're going to be attacked by 4 more, but these ones rolled really low, so now you're ready for them, and you smack them away with your hands, with your feet, with your spider hands.
Yeah, my extra spider.
Everything swats. You're actually also going to escape unscathed. None of them are going to dive below the water to get at Gram.
She can hold her breath for 1 hour.
Wow.
Good luck up there.
So long.
Arok, you're up.
How close is the queen? Is it, like,
the queen is above you, about, like, 30 feet above you in the tree still. But she's, like, struggling against your web.
Could I make my way toward the queen?
Sure. You use your spidery limbs.
Yes.
The sturges that you're leaving behind are trying to latch onto you. One of them gets you right on the neck, and you just feel a little bit drained as you keep climbing up.
Ah, get off, get off.
So you manage easily, you make it to the queen sturge.
Could I use my web to wrap her around in it?
I'll have you make, like, a grapple check on it. What'd you get?
It was a nat 1.
Oh, man.
No. Wait, why is it me?
You're using Zula's time. You're using Zula's side right
there. I think
now.
You knew a part.
I'm not going to use this again, man.
You try to, like, grab around this thing, and you're using your extra limbs, and suddenly the branch gives, and you fall down into the water, and so does the sturge, because she's still, like, in the web, under the water, wriggling to get free. It's back over to Gram.
Right. I see it all.
You do see it all, and it almost just crashes right into you.
I'm going to grab the lady sturge, and I'm actually going to blind it. 14.
11.
She's blinded.
So it's the queen's turn. She's blind. She's struggling. She's going to try and attack, but she is going to have disadvantage. 17, will that hit you?
I'm AC 17.
It's needle nose thing. Latches onto your neck, and your blood is going to be drained pretty good. 17 hit points as blood just, like,
what?
Rushes out of your body.
What?
That's a lot.
Lightheaded all of a sudden.
Ow.
Zula, you're up. You are being chased by a bunch of sturges.
I kind
of
want to, like, spread my wings so that I, like, stop midair.
Mm-hmm.
And then use their force flying at me to, like...
You stop, yeah. And just swing?
Yeah. For this one, I go... Woo, 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 woo.
You do so, and it illuminates them as they come in. And they all just splash into the marshes behind you.
Cool.
And that's 3 kills for you.
And I'll just head towards the tree.
You stop on what remains of the tree, and you perch there. Arok, you're up. You are underwater. Splashed into the water, but you're not trapped.
Yeah, right? My HP is, like, pretty low right now. So
you want to bail?
I don't want to say it like
just,
that.
Oh, okay. But I run away. Flee.
I want to say get to safety, you know? That's what I want to say, but, you know, yeah, bitch out, whatever, you know? Well, she's holding, like, a football, right? She got the Heisman going.
But it's still struggling against her and just stuck her with its thingy.
But it's still in your neck?
Actually, it is still
in
your neck.
In my neck.
Okay, well, the first thing I'll do is pull that thing out and kind of, like, use my webbing to attach it to her body. So it's like, put her head down and just wrap it around her body.
Yeah.
We'll have you make a grapple check again. All right. You sort of reach your hands beneath the surface of the water, and you pull up this queen sturge that Gram's still clutching onto, and you tie around your web, center
her,
it around.
Her beak thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And like tie it to her body.
It's a thorax.
Thorax. And guys, this has been insect / bat science with the Roll For It squad.
Yes.
After I do that and help her out with that, I kind of want to go into the shadows a little bit.
Some Sturges eye you thirstily as you stand there. And then it is Grimgrim's turn.
I see Eric's not looking too hot. I'm going to cast Healing Word. Keep up the good work. I'm going to start booking it, carrying it like football.
Nice.
You splash up out of the water and you run your full speed towards Durbin.
Feet. 2 miles an hour.
She's a big football for sure, but you've got her and you're running.
Whee!
Stiff arming other Sturges on your way there.
Yeah.
All right, so the queen's going to go. So she's not blind anymore. She's still webbed up.
Yes.
She's still webbed up and grappled. She can't get an attack out on you, but she does make this weird sound.
Shush.
A swarm of Sturges dive down and attack Grimgrim. And the Sturge Queen's turn is over. That means it's Zula's turn.
I kind of want to just leap off the tree and fly towards her.
Okay.
With just like my hand axes right in front.
They'll hit something.
Yeah, they'll hit something. Yeah. Maybe I'll just like do a spinning action with them like this.
What?
Oh my god, a 20 and a 19.
Hey.
Dude! Crit!
On your double crit, pieces that remain of these Sturges fly off and hit another Sturge on their way.
Like, yeah, and then I want to like just grab one and just throw that at another.
As you fly with your propeller axes.
What the hell?
How far is Grimgrim away from me? Could I catch up to her, grab the package? And hand it off to Durbin. Is that okay, Grim?
As you're running up past me, is it?
Give me the package so we can give it to Durbin.
This cool?
Do it. Bye.
It'll take you 9 years to reach the portal. Oh,
so the webbing kind of sticks to her hands, but you pry it away and you run. Because what's your speed, like 45 feet or something?
Yeah, it's like some stupid...
So you make it up to Durbin, and you clip on the harness, and you slap him on the butt, get him moving. You guys are now only hundreds of feet from this portal, and you do have like a bit of a swarm left behind you, even though Zula's constantly just chopping through loads of them. I'm going to deal some damage to you, Zula, as you just keep your bit as much as you swing. Take 12 hit points, blood loss. Some of the ones that you kill are just full of your blood as you swipe through them. And you guys now are just within 100 feet of Mr. Jangles.
Jingle!
You see him beyond the curtain, and he's got his crossbow loaded, and he's like, oh my god!
Yeah.
You're all some pretty scary looking motherfuckers. I'm not
gonna
lie.
We're all fucked up.
Leave the portal open!
I see your fear!
Don't close it, Mr. Jangles.
Durbin plows through the portal, and Eric, you're right behind him.
Yeah.
Then Grimgrim dives in.
Ooh.
Zula, you're covered in Sturges, and you fly through with your wings, and they get clipped by the curtain rods as you go in, and you tumble onto the ground, splatting through like most of them. The rest of which Grimgrim just like smashes on you with their frying pan.
Oh my god! Ah.
And just as the rest of the swarm is reaching, Mr. Jangles pulls the curtain across. He's like. You guys look, the effects will wear off. Within an hour or two, I hope. They will.
I'm just up in a corner like a spider.
You're on the ceiling.
Does my lipstick still look nice?
Grimgrim, you look fine. Mr. Jangles is working on this mosquito thing, setting it up in this harness, using like beakers and things, and it's... Probiscus, you know, he's like putting
what?
That in a certain angle. It's probiscus.
Succubus.
And he puts it around this beaker and he starts to collect this liquid.
Accurate.
Grimgrim, your eyesight starts to return to normal. But also your connection with Eldaith just grows stronger. Like you have your magic back. And Eric, you slip from the ceiling.
Oh, what's happening?
And Zula, you're suddenly just making a really lame sounding like ooh, ooh noise.
Okay.
And you guys watch from outside the door as he wakes up his daughter and gives her a spoonful of this potion. Her cheeks are rosy and she is happy as a clam. And that's just always been a weird expression to me, happy as a clam.
Clams, I mean, don't have facial expressions.
I know. What makes a clam happy?
Having a pearl inside of it.
And that's where we end episode. Mr. Jangles, he finds a stash of coins.
No,
we don't need it.
That's
too much.
We'll take something. What can I? Is there anything I can offer you?
Do you have any snacks?
And he gives you some meatloaf.
This might be a lot, but do you have any health potions we can take with us?
Yeah, I do. And so he shuffles through and he gathers different shaped bottles.
I kind of want to look around, see if there's anything I like.
Okay, just something to steal.
Yeah.
From this nice southern gentleman.
Borrowing. It's all borrowing.
So you go and you do find this really interesting looking vial, like this elixir of some kind. It's got a deep purple color.
Ooh.
And there's like a crate of a few of them, maybe like a dozen of them.
I'm going to just put one in my pocket. No, I'm not going to do that. Unless I can, and then I have it.
You can try.
Yeah, I want to try to sneak one in my bag.
Mr. Jangles is looking the other way.
Excuse me.
What?
You haven't bought that. I don't think it's for sale.
Look, it could probably help us, though. Look how pretty it is.
And as you're looking at it, you see that it actually has a label on it. A big D handwritten on the label. That's all it says.
Oh, my God. I didn't even look at it that close. Graham, look.
Letter D.
Mr. Jangles, who is this for?
That's an elixir for a very mysterious client who only ever gave me her first initial.
What does she look like?
I only ever met her in person once, but she wore a veil. She didn't look like any kind of creature I'd ever seen before. Carried herself a little differently.
So what does it do?
The potion?
Yeah.
I mean, I really shouldn't talk about my patients like this. There's kind of a confidentiality I like to abide by.
Yeah, but we're like the last guardians. And I think we just helped you out. I just want to know this simple thing.
Do you know her? This D lady?
We know of her.
I do owe you guys. All right. I don't know much about her. I make her a new elixir every week, and I leave it outside the door. She comes at random times of the night to pick it up. It's meant to counter a strange curse that she has on her, I guess. I haven't been successful in undoing whatever magic ails her. But mostly because she won't give me any details, like what it does to her, who cursed her. Pays me well, though, so I don't really ask much more than that.
Do you mind if we leave a note for when she picks it up next?
What do you write on this note to D?
Fuck you.
Wow. Children.
I think we should write something like, we are the last guardians. We would love some questions answered. I don't know.
Help us find the other guardians.
The disappearances of everybody.
We write it very nicely and very kindly.
All right.
In glitter pen.
Okay, so you leave this note for this mysterious client.
We should go right now to the monastery.
You guys finally go to leave Asterix potions, and you open the door after a long night, and you jump when you see Rocky, his arm stretched out like he's just about to knock.
I was just coming to find you three.
What's going on, Grocky? We're incognito.
The thing is, a couple of other people found me and they seem to need your help too.
And he holds up three more envelopes.
Oh no.
Oh my gosh.
I guess they would have a number on them, but I don't know why they have a number on. We'll talk about that later. But could I have each of you roll a D100 for next episode? Graham rolled a 70. Ooh, 97.
91.
So next week we'll figure out which, or maybe all
none.
Three.
Or, none.
Or maybe none of these monsters we encounter in episode 7.
Good, man. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
How's Arak feeling?
I'm glad that we're at least trying to make our way toward the monastery to see what real problem is over there.
Graham's feeling surprised. It was like her first big damage that she took. And she's also sad that she's breaking Grocky's heart. But she knows she's doing the right thing.
Zula, how are you?
This is probably the best Zula has ever felt. She's
defeated all these monsters.
Sturge Slayer.
Yeah.
You flew around a bunch.
I flew around and I couldn't see and I barely took damage. Dang, bro.
Yeah, I was rolling ones a lot on this.
Graham's very upset she lost her glasses.
All right, well, say bye to the nice people at home.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for listening, folks.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, this is DM Jake. Thanks so much for listening to the pod. We can't tell you how much we appreciate your support. If you want more adventures from these characters, we're continuing the story live each week on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/rollforitpod. Tune in to watch the cast take on levels 11 through 20 and interact with us as we play. You can catch sessions you might have missed on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/rollforitpod. See you there.